Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read three short passages of Scripture. First, out of the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. And this is Jesus saying, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and might have it abundantly." And then, out of the first book in the Bible, Genesis, passage we read a few weeks ago, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And then the Apostle Paul, writing in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And he says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." Now, recently, we've talked a good bit about God's grace for us and God's grace for others, including God's calling on our lives to share that with others. We're going to return there again in the weeks to come, on and on and over and over. But today, I thought it would be good to take just a moment to ground ourselves a bit in the one from whom that gift of grace comes. So here's a question for you this morning. What's your standard for how you're doing in life, how you feel you're doing, how you're measuring up? What's your standard? Against what and against whom or against whom do you measure yourself? Or do you at all? What are the standards you embrace that you look to determine how you are doing, maybe even to determine your worth or whether you feel you're worthy? Clearly, you are in God's eyes, but sometimes we don't feel that way, do we? 4 years ago, Nathan and I had the opportunity to attend Tony Dungy's enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. That was in 2016. Seven others were also enshrined that evening. It was a great occasion, and of course, Tony praised and glorified God in his acceptance speech. But how were those eight selected that year as the ones to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Out of the thousands of players who've played, coaches who have coached, and others who have had an impact in the National Football League, and out of those 108 who are nominated for that year's 2016 class, what standards were used by the voters to make the selection of those eight into the Hall of Fame? I suppose excellence in football, and in particular, excellence in NFL football, was one. Nice. But that seems pretty narrow for life in general, doesn't it? So then, what are the standards you use, standards I use to measure ourselves in life? Did you ever find yourself saying or thinking something like this? "At least I'm better than that person." Or, "I'm a better player," or "I'm a better coach than so-and-so." Or as a student, something like, "At least I got a better grade than three-quarters of my class." Or as a spouse, perhaps thinking, "I'm a much better husband, much better bride than so-and-so." Or, "I did better today than yesterday." If you're breathing, you've probably said or thought every one of those at some point or another. I'm going to read three words to you. In your mind, pick one of the three which best characterizes God to you. You have to pick from one of these three. Here they are: mediocre, average, or excellent. Which one did you pick? Which one did you pick that characterizes God for you? It had to be excellent, right? We are made in his image, which we talked about a few weeks ago. Called to be like him. Receiving grace and sharing grace with the world. So in his image, I'm guessing that God doesn't call us to be mediocre or average or accepting anything less than he created us for. And therefore, he doesn't call us to compare ourselves with others at being better at things or worse at things than others. He doesn't point us toward meeting the expectations of the world as our standard, which the world always points us to. The expectations of others, of teachers, of employers, of coaches, media, fans and friends, whomever. They may be good, they may be well-meaning, at least for some of them. But instead, He is our standard of measure. We are called to be like Christ, to be our best, and to give our very best, to strive toward perfection in Him. But why? For what purpose? Well, very simply, so that you and I can become all He created us to be and created us to do. Not to be like somebody else, not to live up to this guy over here, this person over here, but to be who He created us to be, that no one else is like, and to be the best He created us to be and the best at what He created us to do in the world, to have the maximum impact with Him in this world, which He intended when He knit us in the womb, as we read in Jeremiah 1:5. Even though we've experienced this worldwide virus and resulting economic slowdown and protests and looting and violence over a number of things, racial tensions in this country, we've managed to begin to work our way back. We're pushing through, and even some sports have managed a bit of a return. Professional basketball, Major League Baseball, and now football. All aiming, guess what? For championships, for trophies, for money, awards, etc., etc. Those are the standards in the world, and those are the standards in the worlds of sports. But do they determine our worth? Do they determine our value? Well, to the world, they do. But what is God's standard for our lives, for your life and mine? Our son Nathan was always a good student, good athlete. He worked hard, he attended class, he practiced hard, he's very intense, and he usually had his priorities between studies and sports and other activities in the right order. When Nathan was younger, in middle school and then in high school, we shared a number of times that, like it or not, our grading system often reflected how much of the material that was presented in a class was understood and learned by a particular student. The grades we earned also very often were a factor, like it or not, were a factor in opening doors of opportunity for us, with the better grades usually opening more doors for us in the world, whether they be colleges or careers or other opportunities. However, we also made very clear to Nathan that as far as his mother and I were concerned, if at the end of the day, the end of the week, the term, the season, a game, he could look in the mirror and say, no matter the grade he earned or in a particular class, no matter the result on the field, it was the result of his best effort. If it was the result of his very best effort, then we would be satisfied and he should be satisfied and God would be smiling. God calls us to our very best, to be like Him, to remember that we are working for and with Him, as we read in Colossians a minute ago. And our measuring stick is always to be like Him more and more each day. So when the world looks at you and looks at me, it will see Him. Taking that path may at times result in a World Series trophy or Super Bowl ring or a Most Valuable Player award or Coach of the Year award or conference or national championships. It may result in A's on test papers and entry into certain colleges. It may result in great job opportunities. It may even result in being selected into some Hall of Fame one day toward the end of one career path or another. But none of those achievements, even though exceptional, will determine our worth. They are not our standard for living our lives. And the main reason is that those achievements, those standards, are too low. If that's what we settle for, a trophy, a championship, an A in a class, or our likeness on a bust gathering dust in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, or some other Hall of Fame somewhere, we may never become all who God intended for us to be or ever have the impact that we should have in the world or leave the legacy that we were created to leave. We are called to an abundant life, as we read a moment ago, the words of Christ, a rich, satisfying life, a life beyond anything we or the world can imagine. And to have that, our comparison is him. That's it, my friends. God calls us to be like him. He calls us to perfection. He calls us to excellence, but perfection and excellence in modeling him. Not being like the world says, but modeling him, following him, being him, his image to the secular world around us for every breath we breathe and every moment of every day of our lives. And we will all fall short of that mark when measured against him as our standard. Well, what do you expect? It's God we're trying to reach and be like. It ain't going to happen, not in this lifetime. But that's what we strive for. And when we fall reaching for that, he'll pick us up and send us back to try again and again and again with him all the time. That's our standard to strive for, Christ. That's our standard to measure the journey of our life against. That's the Hall of Fame we should be reaching for to be a member of. That one, to be like Christ, with Christ encouraging us, lifting us, and empowering us to be our very best, to be all we were created to be, and impacting the world around us with him for good. That's our Hall of Fame standard, against whom we always measure ourselves. That's the journey we are on with Christ. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time to just stop and listen. And be reminded by you that no matter what the world says, those standards, those expectations, even if we meet them, they change and they're not enough. Our standard is you. Our standard is to be like you. We were created in your image. We are to be like you so that when the world looks at us, they see you. Thank you. Thank you for that call to duty and high responsibility, but we know we don't go alone. You go with us and help us and guide us and lift us up when we fall. So help us to continue to be you to the world, to be all that you created us to be, not somebody else, to be who you created us to be and to have the impact that you created us to have in the world with you and for you. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you even more, knowing that you go with us through it all every day. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious, precious name, we pray and follow. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.